Boy, oh boy. That was not my message. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I think sometimes that we just well to have a little fun. Amen. Just well die happy. If you get it, just well die happy. They say that about 80% of the people who get it will never get sick enough to even hardly know they've got it. The other 20% will get sick enough they might need to go to the doctor, and then about 2% might need to go to the hospital, and mostly that'll be elderly people whose defenses are already down, or real young people whose defenses are not well up. But there's a lot going on out there, and I don't know all about it. But anyway, I'm sure not the expert on it. Just think about it. But I did when I read that where it came from. I said, if China had just read the Bible. If the Chinese people, and there's a lot of great Christians in China, don't get me wrong, but as a nation, it's a pagan, anti-God, atheistic, communist nation, and that's the kind of stuff you get. Anyway, Paul, in verse number 1 of chapter number 10, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I'm probably going to preach on that next Sunday, but I'm not going to tonight. Who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold, when I am present with that confidence. Wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we had walked according to the flesh. Just to insert a little bit here about this, it seems like a funny statement, and some of the stuff he says after the text tonight is strange, but what was really going on here, there were people in the Corinthian church area, the church there, that basically didn't believe Paul was for real, or they were questioning his apostleship and questioning his teaching and all this kind of stuff, and they had made a lot of things, and he was responding to that, and he was dealing with that, and they did everything from accusing him of being too bold to being too nice and all that kind of stuff. And he was just basically, in the final analysis of it, he was asserting to these people that I am an apostle, a son of God, and what I'm telling you is from the Lord, and I'm not ashamed of it, and if I have to, I'll stand up to you on it. Don't want to. I want to be nice. I want to be kind. But if I have to come, you've read the book. If I have to come, it's not going to be pretty when I get there. And he was, because there's a lot of junk going on, it had to be straightened out. Now, in reference to that, he sets inside this discussion about this issue a great biblical truth for you and I. And verse number 3-5 is what I want to preach on tonight. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. That creates a difficult problem. Brother Don's in, it does. We walk in the flesh, but we're not to war after the flesh. We have a tendency to want to war after the flesh because we're walking in the flesh. And when we talk about the flesh, it's what I hear, it's what I'm seeing, it's what I'm sensing around me and so forth, and I want to respond, to situations in the flesh, of the flesh, out of my flesh. And Paul said we don't do that. As Christian people, we cannot. Even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, here's what he says in verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, that word carnal is an akin word to the word flesh. It's a word where if you say chili con carne, it means chili with beans with meat in it. Meat means flesh. And so what he's saying is, and so the carnal gets in where it's mixing the flesh. And this is where I am an expert. Mixing flesh with the spirit. Anybody else have that problem? Okay. But I'm going to get into some things tonight that I think we still, if we take this in the complete context of what Paul is saying, I think there's a damage being done in Christianity by cowing us down and making us only talk about the meekness. Now, it's interesting that he mentions meekness and gentleness at the first of this chapter and then gets into this deal about having to deal with the spiritual warfare within the church, without the church, within our own hearts, in the world. And it's not always an easy situation to deal with. And it's interesting, he mentioned that, but what he's going to come to the thing is this, is that you don't always play nicey-nicey. There's a balance in Scripture. There's a time when we need to be very meek, but there's a time when we need to be bold and courageous. And what the world tries to do is carve us out of Jesus. Oh, you need to be like Jesus, as if he never took a stand on anything, as if he never fought this battle that we're in. Now, he said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. If I was you, I would underline that. Our weapons, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. And they're so mighty that they do something. They pull down, to the pulling down of strongholds. And then here's some of the action in the battle. Here's some of the things that you do with those weapons. You cast down, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that verse is dealing with internal spiritual warfare. Satan is a liar, and he's always going to tell you lies of all kinds. He's going to spew all kinds of stuff out to you. And he's saying you have got to exercise and utilize your spiritual weapons. You've got to cast down those imaginations, those things that come into your mind that are not true, that are not of the Word of God. And you've got to cast them down. And then he mentions the high things. These are like high places in the Old Testament, stuff that's really considered to be real in the world's belief system, but they're not really accurately in the Word of God. And he said, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And then he said, once you've cast those down, then he said, you bring every thought into obedience, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And what he's telling you here, this particular area of battle individually, this spiritual warfare has to do with your mind. And I've dealt with it this week with people. I deal with it myself. I literally have to just literally go out sometimes and sit down and just have a solid talk with God and myself and get some things straightened out, and Satan try to fill me full of lies. And if I was to tell you some of the junk that Satan throws in my head, you'd probably go, Reggie, surely not. But it's as bad as you can imagine and probably worse. But I just have to gird up the loins of my mind. And I have to say, Reggie, that's a lie. That's not true. That's not according to the Word of God. And Reggie, you need to throw that out. And you need to reject that and throw that down. And then bring into my mind the Word of God, the truth about the Word of God. Let me just say, let me give an example. I don't know why, but here of recent, I have been attacked by the devil in that I have wasted my life. And that I have just been a failure in so many different areas of life. Just like a constant shooting of arrows across the wall. So what do I have to do with that? If I'm not careful, that can really get me down, because I'm not a guy who wants to think at the end of the road that I wasted my life. That really bothers me. So what do I have to do? I have to cast that down and say, you know what? I am what I am by the grace of God. I may not be much, and I may have done a lot of failures, but that doesn't make me a failure just because I have failed in several areas of my life. And then I have to say, you know what? For as much as I didn't call myself to preach. God knew my failures before he ever called me. Amen. He determined to use me anyway. And then I have to realize that my labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I have to, that's bringing every thought into obedience. Now, I just want to give you something. Daddies, tonight, you may think that, well, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. It's just, what's it all about? I'm just going to tell you this much. You are a citizen of this country. You are a part of this church. You're a part of all that we're doing. And though it seems sometimes the guy that's behind the kitchen, back behind, he's not up there at the counter. He's back there baking beans, and he's slicing, he's peeling potatoes. He is feeding the army. And there's people that you don't see and that don't seem never important. They don't get the headlines, but they're still important in the work of God. And there's work that we all can do, and you don't let the devil tell you that your life isn't worthless. Mothers, I'm telling you, raising these children, I don't know of any more important work in the world than a father and a mother raising their children for God. I don't know of anything greater. I don't know of any more lasting, eternal work. And we need to quit letting the devil tell us that what we're doing is not valuable, or let him tell you. You know, and yeah, we make mistakes, and yeah, we look back and we wish we could have done this differently, or would have done that differently, or this, that, or the other. I can think of a lot of things. But I can't. Paul said this, I put those things behind me. Bringing every thought into captivity. You can't dwell on your failures. You can't dwell on what messed up and what could have been or might have been. You put that junk behind you, because it's not going to do you any good to just sit there and stew about what might have been and could have been and what would have been. Things are what they are, and God can use you. Amen. And God can bless you, and God can make your life fruitful and meaningful. And you just got to cast that. That's just my little realm sometimes of things, okay? And I will tell you another thing. Now, I'm what's going on, but I can just literally in the last year and a half, a tremendous loss in physical strength and just physical energy. And that bugs the daylights out of me because my mind's about 40 yards out there. My body's going, wait a minute. Catch up, you know, and I get frustrated. The other day I was out cutting logs and I had this old big steel chainsaw and I'm downing trees and I'm wading up in the tops of the trees, you know, and I'm limbing them things and my shoulder, I mean, it hurt like somebody was just driving a knife in it. And in my physical strength, I told Karen, I said, I just wanted to sit down. I was so disgusted. I didn't have the strength to run that chainsaw like I wanted to. And I literally forced myself that morning just to get out of the house. It's too nice a day. You got to just sometimes say, you know what? I'm not sitting in the house. I'm not doing nothing. I'm going to get out and I'm going to do something useful today. It may not seem like much in the world's eyes. I'm going to do something. And I got out there and it took me about an hour and a half and all of a sudden started feeling better. My dad used to say when he was in his 80s, he'd get up in the mornings and he said, man, I can't hardly get out of bed. But he'd get out of bed, eat breakfast, get his boots on, give it to milk. Barney said, always got feeling better when I got to milk. Got out there and get your blood stirring, okay? What I'm saying is, sometimes you have to just say, I'm going to go on and do stuff the best I can with the energy I've got, with the opportunities I've got in life, and I'm not going to worry about stuff that ain't out there, or the, you know, and the other things I get to look at. Well, I'm 66 years old, good land, I'm 4 years from 70, and here I haven't accomplished nothing of all I wanted to accomplish in life. And if you ain't careful, you get to feeling bad. You're just a jerk. You're just worthless, you know. And then I look at my own personal failures. You got up here and preset and look what you did. You got up here and preset and look how you failed. You don't even live up to your own preaching. You ought to quit preaching. You're just a hypocrite. One time, because of my personal failure, I wanted to quit so bad. And had an old preacher, he's 80-some years old, got on the phone with me and said something. He said, you listen to me. He said, God knew how sorry and low down you were before you was ever called to preach. God knew what you was going to do before you ever did it. And he said, when King David messed up, God didn't tell him to quit being king. He said, you keep trucking. If God was waiting on perfect people to get anything done on the face of this earth, there would be nobody getting anything done for God. So what I'm telling you tonight is on this personal level, cast down imaginations, bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Yes, we're not perfect. Yes, we fail. Yes, we would have done some things over again. But you know what? We are just what we are by the grace of God. And so we just will be thankful and happy. Another thing I got to do, how many can think about, oh, I tell you what, I got this bill over here and this bill over here and this ain't right and this is messed up and that's messed up. And if you're not careful, all you can think about is all the things that's going wrong in your life. How many has ever had to gird up the loin of your minds, cast down imagination, say, you know what? Number one, I'm saved. Number two, Karen's still with me. She hadn't left me yet. Number three, I've got 6 children. Number four, I've got 15 grandchildren. And that's a blessing. Number five, I've got a place to live. Number five, I live in the Ozarks. Number six, I live out in the country. Number seven, I'm not in a nursing home. Number eight, I'm not in a hospital. Number nine, I'm not in the mental ward. Although I may ought to be, but I'm not there. Amen. Number 10, and I flip back to the, oh, bless God Almighty. I have a wonderful church family. I have a church to go to Sunday. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. We're going to pray. We're going to fellowship. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to gather around the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then bless God Almighty. He called me to preach. Let me preach. Amen. He's got to have a sense of humor. Amen. And so you know what I just have to do? And you know what? I may have to do that tomorrow, and I may have to do that Tuesday, and I may have to do that Wednesday, and you may have to just throw down all the junk that ain't going right and just gird up the loins of your mind and say, you know what? There's a lot of good in this world. Amen? You know what? I hate to say this. It bothered me when Paul died. I'm just telling you. But here's the deal. It's not just Paul. I have seen, in the last several years, it's just, this one, here, this one, and this one, and this one, and I'm just telling you right now, we've got 8 or 10 or 14 elderly people in our church that are in their late 80s, early 90s. It's not going to be with us all that long. And I mean, I may beat them all out of here, but I miss those people. And it hurts me to see them go. But then I say, well, Lord, you need to raise up new men, new women, that'll stand for you and serve you. Amen. You know, that's all I know. I can't just dwell on those that are going off the scene. And so anyway, now I want to take it now to away from the personal application of the spiritual battle that you have in your life to a certain degree. And I want to talk about the great war of the ages tonight and our battle in it. And I'm just going to have a little bit of fun with this. But there, from the Garden of Eden, even before that, there's been this great war, God against Satan. And whether you like it or not, you're in it. You're in the war. Amen. And it is a war of good against evil. It's a war of right against wrong. It's a war of pure against that which is corrupt. It is a war of truth against the lies. And we're in this war. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, if you want to take your Bibles and go there, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about this warfare. And I want to talk to y'all tonight about something that's very, very close to my heart and important to me, because here's a stupid thing. I've never been in the military. A bunch of you guys have been. I don't, you know, I shouldn't say anything. That's just the way my life went. Vietnam War, I think I was a junior in high school when they stopped the draft and basically started winding that thing down. You know, some guys I went to high school that were seniors while I was a freshman were killed in the Vietnam. You know, I had cousins in Vietnam. And I've always had just a little bit of a, you know, other guys went, I never went, stuff like that. You know, I don't know. I don't know why God didn't put me in the military, but he didn't. But I always had a military mind and a military heart. And I look at my Christian walk and my work as warfare, because it is. He said, the weapons of our warfare. Christians used to sing, am I a soldier of the cross? Christians used to sing, when the saints go marching in. Christians used to sing, onward Christian soldiers. Some of those songs have literally been taken out of the songbooks in your generation. Good songbooks, basically, but they don't want anything about that Christians are fighting. Brother, you're fighting, or you're surrendering, one or the other. And I just believe in fighting. And in Ephesians chapter 6, it says there in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Who puts on armor? People that are fighting, soldiers put on armor. And he said that you may be able to what? Hide in the church house? Hide at your house? No, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not, there's this battle, there's this warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So there's matching what Paul said. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not flesh and blood that we're fighting against. that's where I have trouble mixing the spirit with the flesh. You know what I'm saying? Because you know that looks like flesh and blood to me. Bernie looks like flesh and blood. I'm poor Bernie. I pick on him all the time. But anyway, well, Bernie learned what the establishment can do. Anyway, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, there's four levels of spiritual warfare here, four areas of spiritual warfare. Then he says in verse 13, there's this spiritual warfare. He said, wherefore, because of this spiritual enemy that we have, he said, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Then he says, do something. What? Stand. Therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Well, what would be the truth? Jesus said in John 17, thy word is truth. God said, if you're going to be successful in this spiritual warfare, you must have yourself girded with the truth of the word of God. That's why the devil's after the Bible. He doesn't want you girded with truth. He wants you girded with a bunch of junk and paraphrases and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you something. Can you imagine if you were invited to get on, to come to the show, The View, and I don't watch it, I just see stupid stuff about it. But if anybody walked in there with a King James Bible, throwed it down on the table and says, now what do you want to talk about? There'd be the hissing and mocking and squealing and screaming like you never seen in your life. Nobody wants to bring a Bible except when they're sworn on oath of office sometimes. This book is so powerful that your enemy doesn't even want it in presence of them. It is so powerful to them, they don't want it in schools. It is so powerful, they don't want it in courts, because they know, I'm telling you, let me tell you something, if you got a .38 pointed at you, you're doing something. This is like, oh boy, said Acts 2:38. The old boy broke in the house, you know, and this woman said, Acts 2:38, he froze. And she called the cops, and the old boy said, well, you got there, and she didn't have nothing. He says, what'd you put up your hands for? He said, well, she kept saying, I've got an axe and 2:38s. She's, you know, believe on the Lord. She's got to be, believe on the Lord and all that and be baptized. But what I'm saying is that Bible is powerful. This Bible is powerful, and the world knows it. And that's why they want to mock you down, cow you down, intimidate you, where you'd be afraid to walk in Walmart with one, afraid what people think of you, that you're some kind of religious nut, a fanatic. They do not want the Bible brought into the public conversation. But let me just tell you something tonight. If we're going to, if our weapons are not carnal, but are mighty through God, right here's the first one. It's the Word of God. Let me tell you something. When Satan tempted Jesus Christ, he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. If Christ used the Word of God in the warfare of his life, how are you and I going to get by with any less? And I'm telling you, we need to know the Word of God. Let me tell you, somebody around you that knows the Word of God. And Terry, you mean to go to jailhouse. Let me tell you, tell me something about Jason Waltice. He's almost a walking Bible. He's almost a walking Bible. That man knows more scripture than anybody I know in this country. He can quote more scripture than anybody I know. And there's not an issue that comes up, but what his brain runs immediately to the scriptures that matches the subject that you're talking about. I'm just telling you the flat out truth. He knows this truth, that the Word of God is the weapon that conquers. It's not my thoughts, it's not my philosophies, not my opinions, but what does the Bible say about that? And I'm telling you something, when somebody quotes you a verse and you know that it's not being quoted out of context, not being twisted, not being, I'm telling you, it has power. It'll shut your mouth. It will. It'll stop all the garbage going on. He does that over at the prisoners, doesn't he, boys? Uses it on them. It's just not opinion. So I'm going to encourage you tonight that the Word of God. So what we need to do. Now I want to give you an illustration of this. Several years ago, back when the Mansfield Shopper was on, and Mr. Jim Downing, and God bless his heart, I used to run a lot of ads with him in the auction business all during those years. Done a lot of business with him. Our church put in an article one time. By the way, one of the reasons I don't do much in the papers anymore, because a lot of people ain't reading the papers, to just be honest with you, and they're too high for what you're getting out of them. Everybody's gone to social media, I'm sorry. Okay, but I'm going to get some things not about you getting in the warfare. But our church, the deal came up over here at Ava about the sodomite deal. And so we had put articles about sodomy in the Shopper. Actually, what I put on Facebook just last week, all those things that God describes it as, Jim Downing got letters from sodomites around the area threatening to boycott his business, that they were going to call every advertiser. This is how they operate. It is a warfare. They threatened Jim to call every advertiser he had and tell him, if you don't quit running ads from Liberty Faith Church, we're going to make everybody quit advertising with you. He called me one night and said, could I meet you at the truck stop? This was, I believe it was after church for me, but it was at night. And we sat over in his truck and he said, Reggie, you've been with me a long time. You've been a good customer of mine. He said, I've tried to be, he said, Jim, you've been good to me. He said, Reggie, he showed me the letters. He said, these people are trying to put me out of business. And he said, I'm here to ask you one question. I'm willing to stand if you'll stay with me. I said, Jim, run that ad next week again. Double down. Double down. He said, that's all I needed to hear. You know what I'm saying to you? People need to know that you'll, having done all, stand. You don't back up. You don't cow down. The same thing happened in the Ava newspaper over there several years ago with that sodomite deal over there. Whenever that sodomite in Springfield published that deal and was, you know, and they published a half page free. Now watch this. They did a half page ad for this sodomite in Springfield to publish their sodomite opinions free in the Douglas County Herald. So I took that full page ad of the 16 things that describes a sodomite, put it a full page ad in the Douglas County Herald. You know what? And so they ran it. The next week they come back and they let him give a rebuttal to us. So I called back to Douglas County Herald. I said, run that ad again. Now all we were doing was giving scripture. The whole page, and you can go back and check their archives for this. All we did was run scripture. I called back, I said, I want to run that full page ad again. Then I got a call from somebody high up in the deal and said, we don't want to do that. I can tell you where I was at when I got the phone call. I was on U Highway south of Mansfield, Missouri. I'd been checking on either looking at some cattle or checking about an auction. And they told me they would not run that ad again. They just wanted this thing to die. I said, wait a minute. I said, you let them run the first ad. We ran that ad. You let them run a rebuttal against us. And I said, all I'm asking is to run the Word of God again, what the Bible has to say about this issue, and run it again. And we'll pay them for ours. And I'm making an appeal to you. It's not right not to let us answer that article. In the meantime, I'd gotten about 8 or 10 preachers and churches. And Danny Douglas, by the way, you want to know why he and I was close? Because Danny Douglas was one of the only preachers that honestly really stood with me in the middle of that issue. I'll just tell you the facts of it tonight. Danny didn't back up. Danny didn't buckle. Danny didn't quaver. Danny said, I'm with you till the death of this thing. And he put his name on the line. I got on the phone, called Karen. I said, get a hold of everybody in church you can get a hold of. I said, get everybody to pray. And some of you probably remember that phone call. We prayed that God would change their hearts. And I'm telling you what happened. Through the weapon of prayer, God changed their hearts. They called me back and said, Reggie, we're going to run it. You know what I knew? I knew that the weapon of prayer had turned and changed their mind. Church tonight, listen to me. We're in a warfare. And one of the reasons, you know what somebody told me the other day? Said, Reggie, if anywhere you go now, almost don't, these sodomites taking control. Let me tell you something. Yeah, we've got some of it, but it ain't near as bad here as it is in most places. How many would understand that? You want to know one reason it's not? Is because churches in this area have taken a stand against it. Because we've used the weapons of God's. It's not our opinions. That was the big issue there. That's what made it work. That's why God honored it. It wasn't Reggie Kelly's little pop-offs. It was we were quoted the Word of God, issue after issue after issue, point after point after point. Here's what the Bible says about this. And that was so powerful that God said, if you're going to use the weapons that I gave you, he said, they're not carnal. They're mighty to God to the pulling down of strongholds. I have watched this in the ministry of this church. I am telling you, church, never be ashamed. Never back up. Don't be afraid to stand on the Word of God. I don't care what the issue is. I'm going to go with some further things. This Saturday, yesterday, at our state capitol, there was a rally up there of transvestites. The last I counted, there was 400 people said they were coming to it. And 1,500 people had expressed interest in going to it. And here's what it was about. Ben, I don't know. I can't recall the name of the representative right now. He's from Neosho, Missouri, though. Introduced a bill in the Missouri House that would prevent public libraries from allowing drag queens to come in and read to children. They exploded. They went nuts. They went crazy. Springfield newspaper will always join the sodomites. And KY3, and they'll always join them and make people like that look like he's so small-minded and he's so narrow-minded and he's against freedom of expression and freedom of speech. And here's what gets me. They're not afraid to attack you, but I'm going to tell you something. When we ran that second ad in Ava, did you know it shut their mouths? They never answered that. To this day, they've never answered that ad. You know why they quit fussing with us? Because they knew we weren't going to buckle. They found out these guys aren't backing down. These people mean business. They're willing to put their money where their mouth is. They'll buy 2 full-page ads. They're not stopping. They didn't back up. And that's what God is waiting on, is for God's people to quit backing up, cowering down, sissying out, and use the mighty weapons of God that we've got. Amen. And I'm just want to encourage you as families. Let me just tell you, up here in Wisconsin here just this week, there's a school up there where they had a transvestite come in. He's actually a teacher in their school, pulling all kinds of junk. And now they've accommodated everything he wants to do. And the question arose in that community, where are the parents? Where are the parents standing against this junk? I want to tell you right now, it is not right for them to let boys go into girls' bathrooms or girls to go in boys' bathrooms. I want to tell you right now, any kid do that ought to have his teeth knocked down his throat, and I know that's carnal. But he needs a good whooping. And any dad and any mama that would go along with their child claiming he's the opposite sex of what he claimed he is, they ought to get a whooping too. They ought to put them in jail. For negligence of parenting. Where are we at in this country? We allow that kind of garbage to go on in our school system. We're sitting inside. I'll tell you right now. I'm going to get, here we go. Here we go. You're talking about warfare. Somebody says, Reggie, why do you stand against government education like you do? I'm going to tell you why. It's just issues just like that. Oh, evolution coming. You know, here's the first thing. You can laugh about the 50s and the 60s if you want to. But back then, your son could hitchhike to Kansas and not worry about getting raped or robbed or beat up or something like that. Your daughter could walk the streets of this country. Your house could be left without the keys being locked. You could live free in this country before. And by the way, back then, they used to, the principal or the superintendent of schools used to read the Bible over the PA system in the schools, or the teacher would read a Bible. My grandma was a teacher. I know what I'm talking about. And they would have prayer over the intercom, and then, now let's start class. Well, they took that out, and then they brought evolution in, and they told, said that God's a liar, and all the stuff that your preachers preaching on Sunday and your Sunday school teachers are teaching is a big fat lie. All them people at your church, kids, are liars. That's what evolution is saying. Oh, but you know what? We got to have our bus drive. We got to have our bus route. We got to drive our buses. We need our cooking jobs at school. We need our teaching jobs. Our teachers' aid jobs. And I'll tell you right now, the average preacher in Wright County is nothing but a coward. And this is live and this is recorded. But I challenge you preachers in Wright County, when are you going to preach against the garbage going on in the government schools? They're not public. They're government. Why is it you on Sunday get up and preach about how Jesus, 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 but then on Monday morning, you'll send your kids to a place that calls God a bald-faced liar, that says you cannot worship him here. You cannot pray to him. Oh, but we have prayer around the flagpole. Bless your little heart. So you got to go off out there by the flagpole and pray, huh? They tell you when, where, and what. So you say, Reggie, how'd you try to fight that war? God led us to start a Christian school. God led us to support homeschoolers. God led us to support people who are getting the kids out of that place. That's, let me tell you something. You wonder why Bernie Sanders has got millions, like took in $47 million in January for his presidential campaign and believes the garbage that he believes. You tell me where the kids that's sending him their $25 got their beliefs at. Tell me. They got it at the school system. Yes, sir. I'm a little tired. Listen, I know it's wrong for preachers and priests and clergy people to do things that are wrong, but have you kept track of how many teachers in government schools are messing with the students? It would astound you. And I'm telling you another thing, they're hiding it all that they can, just like the Catholic Church did. They're hiding it. Oh, don't let that out. Just this week it popped out that a school system was covering and hiding for a teacher, and they we're going to take care of this internally. Let me tell you what we need to do is publish the Word of God, proclaim the Word of God, preach the Word of God, teach the Word of God, stand on the Word of God and not be ashamed of it. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. You know, change this country, change people's hearts. We got the only power. That the power of God changes people's hearts. Then there's prayer. We talked about prayer a while ago. You want to be involved in this warfare, pray. You want to be involved in this warfare, fast. Mordecai had been told that the people, Haman said, I'm going to kill all the Jews, and he got an order from the king to do it. You know what Mordecai told him to do? He got a hold of Esther and said, you and all your maidens, fast 3 days. And Esther said, by the way, you've got to come to self-denial. Did you know that self-denial is a very powerful tool? Muslims understand this. That's why they can talk people in with all their lies about 70 virgins in heaven, and then since they're going to heaven, to put a suicide vest on and go in and blow themselves up, because they understand the principle of self-denial. And what happens is when you're willing, she said, if I perish, I perish. You know what we need? Ugh. We need some people who says, you know what? If it hurts me, the friends I've got, if it loses my family, if it loses my friends, I'm still going to stand for the truth. Let me tell you something. You are headed for judgment. We're headed for judgment. And I'm going to promise you, you're not going to want to stand there and drop your head and lose the eternal benefits that you could have had by standing up for Jesus Christ when you had the opportunity. I'm telling you what we need to have. These, what you say, Reggie, what are the strongholds? Well, we'll just run down through them. Religion is a stronghold in this country. I remember when I first started preaching, I didn't have any better sense than to preach against Catholicism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and everything atheism I could find. And these preachers around this area, you know what? They'd sneak up to me and say, Reggie, let me talk to you a minute. Reggie, you ain't going to do no good attacking Catholics. I said, I didn't know I was attacking them. You know what the real deal was? They were convicted because they weren't saying anything, so they had to shut me down to save their own face. That's the honest truth. Now, I'm not trying to be cocky. I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I'll tell you something. I've been in the battle a long time, and I've lost a lot of friends, and I've lost worlds of business and everything else over it, but I'm going to tell you something right now. We sing it. He's to be preeminent. He's God Almighty. He's my Savior. He's the one I give account to. What's going to count in the end is not how many friends I had here. It's whether I've served Him and been faithful to His holy name. Amen? And I'm going to say this to you. The strongholds is religion. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody says, well, you ought not get up and preach against it. Well, I tell that to Jesus in Matthew 23. He preached on the street. He preached and said, ye scribes, ye Pharisees, ye vipers, ye serpents. Woo! He named them by name. They're cults. They're false religions. He named them to their face in public. Called them vipers and serpents. He said, you're leading people to hell. But that's not the Jesus we've got carved out today, is it? I won't tell you, it's no wonder they crucified him. You know what? That's our problem. We know it'll get us crucified. So we don't stand. Then the second stronghold of religion I got to move tonight is the media. Now, you young people listen to this preacher tonight because I'm praying for you. The media is a very, very powerful stronghold. A middle school principal in Bentonville, Arkansas, just released a thing to blow your mind. And I'm telling you what, he said some things that need to be said, and I appreciate it. I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but here's what he said. He said, I'm a principal of middle school down in Bentonville, Arkansas, at a school, which one it is. But he said, we're having everyday situations with these 7th, 8th graders on their phones. Now, I don't know what their rights are or not about the phone business. But he said that when they have to deal with these kids and what they've been doing with their phones and violations of the school rule, and he said, somehow or another, they've got a right to check their phones. And he said in the 7th, 8th grade, he says, the most vile, the most wicked, the most evil stuff is on those junior high students' phones that they've been watching that you can imagine in your mind. He wrote a letter to all the parents of that school district and said, your child doesn't need a phone at all, period. Amen. The phone is, the phone is destroying your children out from underneath you. He said, if you're going to have a phone, he said, you never let that child have a phone in his bedroom and sit in there for 3 or 4 hours. He said, he said, it's the worst possible scenario you could ever have. Isn't it a shame it's got to come from a school principal and not from the pulpits of this church and the churches of this country? You young people, listen to me. Media is very powerful. Media is powerful. TV, internet, Facebook. And here's what I think you need to do. You know what I'd do? I tell you what, get all the education you can. I'm not against education. I'm just against godless religion, educational systems. Learn, be wise, be smart, and get in the media business. Why do we want liberals telling us all the news we hear all the time? Let me tell you what blew Donald Trump to the presidency is the first time he stood up at a rally, pointed his finger there at the back and said, they're a bunch of fake news. Woo! Do you know why he's respected? Because he fights. The other night, had a town hall talking about media. The most people's ever watched a town hall meeting in the history of this country. Watch that, you know why? Everybody likes to go watch a fight. They had an audience crowd guy got up in the crowd, and he said, Mr. And they gave him the mic. He hadn't got to ask a question. He said, Mr. Trump, he said, I voted for you, I'm for you, and all. But he said, I just think sometimes you're just too coarse and too rough, and you just respond too mean. And of course, they wanted a response from him. You know what Trump said? They hit me, I'm hitting them back. Do you know what? That's been the problem with conservatives and Christians for 50 years in this country. We're supposed to cow down and talk about it like the mice about the cat in our church houses on Sunday morning. Oh, what a wicked world we live in. Oh, what a wicked world we live in. Isn't that awful? But oh, don't you dare go outside that church house and say anything of truth. Don't go out there to public square on the media and say anything. You know what I'd encourage you? Now you listen to me. If you can handle it, and you've got to, I'm telling you right now, you better walk with God. But every person in this church, if you've got Facebook, you ought to be on there. Why are you going to let everybody else set the stage? I thank God. There are several people in this church who put verses on media, on Facebook, who say, make statements on Facebook that says the Christian conservative side. I thank God for you. Get in the battle, amen. There are people you'll reach that nobody else in this church will reach. Get in the media. I would encourage some of you kids in this church, develop a different platform than Facebook that other people can get on. Let me just tell you something. Here, quite a while back, I did a deal on the sodomy. And you have the ability to boost, right? And so here's what I did. I thought, you know what? This doesn't need to go to Norwood. Everybody around here, you know, kind of gets it, maybe. So I thought, I know, I'll boost this in Columbia, Missouri. So I take my little deal, map deal, put Columbia, Missouri, well, nest of queers up there, and them liberals up there in that place. And I thought, bingo, right there. And then I did 50 mile around it. Put it in there and put it on. Boy, I mean, here they came. I was just tickled to death. Man, I was getting bing, 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 bing. Boy, them queers and all them people up there, they didn't like it. I thought, man, I've hit pay dirt. Amen. I don't need everybody going, amen, Reggie, that was a good post. Amen. I don't need everybody that already agrees with me. I'm trying to get out there where they don't agree with me. But guess what Facebook's done? I haven't been able to do a boost since then. I can't do it on my business page. I can't do it on my ministry page. I cannot boost. They've cut me off. And so I'm telling some of you kids, you want to do something? Start you up a Christian Facebook. Amen. Control the media. Our forefathers in this nation controlled the media. They own education is a stronghold place. As again, I tell you, you know why all these kids believe in what they believe? Because we funneled them like cattle into a squeeze chute and a head chute. We funneled them into the government schools, locked their heads up, poked them full of all them garbage ideas, let them out. Now we wonder why they believe like they believe. They've been treated and dosed and stuff with enough lies. And so here's what I'm telling you. That's the reason we started Christian school. I'm gonna pose. I'm gonna fight. I'm gonna tell you something. My kids may blow out, they may deny and refuse everything their mama's ever taught them, but they're not gonna do it without having heard the truth. Amen. They're not gonna walk by my casket or stand on my grave and say, I wish Dad had taught us the truth about the Word of God. I wish Dad would have stood up for things that's right. That's what your kids need to be able to say about you. Did you stand? Did you fight? Did you take a position? We've got to take ground. Neither give place to the devil. I'm telling you right now, just being flat honest with you. That's why you need to vote. Man told me yesterday, he said, well, I just don't vote. Said, I just don't get political. I said, well, I guess it's fine with you if the socialists take over then. You're just going to let the socialists take over. Well, it's not that. I just want to focus more on the Lord. I said, I want to tell you something. God ordained government. Amen. Yes, sir. You've got the right to vote. And you need to vote. Now, I'm going to go further than that. That's why we need people in Jeff City, them queers up there yesterday, march around them transvestites. We need some senators. And right there, my brother's running. I'm going to give him a free ad tonight. He's running for Senate. I don't know a better man in the country than I'd rather have up there than him. I guarantee you, he ain't going to sell you out. Ben, that's $35. You approve the message? All right. Okay, as long as you approve the message. Here's what I'm getting to. Here's what I'm getting to. Don't let the liberals be in every elected position. Let's run for office. Yeah. Amen. Let's be the one who's hitting the vote button. I told my daughter when she told me she's praying about running, I said, Hannah, I hate to see you do it. It's mean. You ain't never seen mean to you getting that deal. But you know something? I'm glad it's her and not some queer up there pushing the yes or no button. I'm glad it's her that's got some standing, some guts, and some backbone to stand up something. And I'm just telling you, my daddy, he put it in us. You get involved. You get involved because if you don't, the people who you won't want will be involved. And they'll be passing laws, and that's what's happened to us. And so I'm encouraging you tonight. You run for office. You say, well, might get beat. Well, that's a good shot of it. My dad always said somebody's going to lose. But you know what? Even running. Do you know what Bernie Sanders knows? He knows that even though he doesn't win, he has had unbelievable billions of dollars worth of free airtime propagating his lies to the American people. Just in running. So vote. Run for office. Get involved. Take action. I'm going to tell you something. We need people that fight in this warfare. Now, I talked about on one side personal, internal, spiritual warfare. I'm talking about the outer warfare right now that's critical in this nation. And again, I talk about political parties, but our founders. By the way, the media, let me just give you something about the media. Fox News, I'm not a great big fan of them, but it started back in the late 90s, if I'm not mistaken. And the guy that started this, no more Christian than a man in the moon. But here's what he realized. He realized that NBC, ABC, CBS, and CNN were all controlled by super liberals and that they were telling the news in a slanted fashion against constitutional conservatives and Christians in this country. You know what he said? He just looked at the polling. He just looked at the vote and said, good land. There's half of America that doesn't even have a news station they like to watch. I'm going to start one. Now it's become the largest watched. I mean, you buy. I'd like to see you buy an ad on Hannity. Buy a 30-second ad on Hannity, see what that cost you. He just took advantage. He was observant of the opportunity. And that's what I'm talking about. We've got to get involved. Get in the media. Get into politics. Preach. Woo! Pass out tracts. Pray. Take a stand. Talking about getting in the fight. A lot of people didn't like old Patton back in World War II. Old Eisenhower said one thing about him, he'll fight, amen. If I tell Patton, I want you to go get him, he go get some, amen. How many knows what Patton did in the middle of Rhine River when they crossed it? Does anybody in here know? I ain't telling you. You go home and find out for yourself. He did something. He sent a message to Hitler when he crossed the Rhine River. It's pretty coarse. But that's the kind of man he was. You know what? He was letting old Hitler know, I'm coming for you. You're over. If they'll turn me loose and give me enough gas in these tanks, I'll whoop you so fast, make your head swim. He put the fear of God in them. Fighters. That's what we need. What about David? Comes down there to, my daddy sent me down here to give you boys some bread and cheese. What's going on around here anyway? Oh, there's a great big giant down there. Says he defied the armies of the living God. David said, well, who's he to defy the armies of the living God? Well, you're, now watch this. Here's how they do you. Once you step out and say, well, you know what? I'll go to battle for God. I'll preach. I'll go to mission field. I'll pass out tracts. I'll pray. I'll vote. I'll serve. I'll get involved. Oh, you need to settle down now. His brothers told him, you're naughty. No, David did what you got to do. He's turned away from him. Let them people go. Then people try to tell you can't do nothing for God. You just turn away from them. Don't listen to their garbage. Oh, David went down there and the Bible said he ran toward him. Amen. That's the kind of man that'll get the job done. And that guy tried to mock him out. And I'll tell you what he said. He said, I'm going to. David prophesied right to his face what he's going to do. And he did it. I'm telling you right now. I am telling you what. Some of you young people don't know how God could use you in this generation. I am honest with you. If you'll say, God, I'm telling you what, show me how to get in the battle. Buy a newspaper. Buy a radio station. Start a podcast. Listen, Rush Limbaugh. I got so tickled. Trump, I mean, this Trump, I like Trump. I don't like everything he stands for. I don't like everything he does. But I'll tell you, I like him. You know one reason I like him? Because he'll hit you smack in between the eyes. He's giving that speech the other night at the. Some of you Democrats ain't liking his preaching. I don't care. Amen. He's at that. He was at that State of the Union address the other night, and he knew this would just literally set old Nancy Pelosi on fire. He invited Rush Limbaugh, gave him the highest honor in this nation. It burned them off so bad because they hate Rush Limbaugh's guts, and I'm going to tell you why. For nigh on 30 years, 20 million people in America have listened to that man articulate the Constitution and conservative values. And they hate his guts. There is no telling how many people he turned from thinking liberal to thinking constitutional. And they hate him. And when Trump got up there and said, you know what, we're going to give him the Congressional Medal of Honor. And he did right. Because he's been a warrior for the freedom of this nation. Yes, sir. You say, well, I don't like Rush Limbaugh. I ain't really crazy about him myself. But I'm telling you one thing. You kids, you think you can't do something? Rush Limbaugh had failed and failed and failed in everything he had done. I don't know if you know his story, his history or not, but you ought to read it sometime. But one day he decided to get into this radio business. He had piddled around here and there, started this radio talk. You wouldn't even have AM radio today if it wasn't for Rush Limbaugh. Some of you kids wouldn't even know it exists. And he went to a dying, watch this, went to where everybody else said, nobody listens to that. But it was cheap. And it was available. And they were looking for anything. And Rush Limbaugh said he just started to talk radio. 3 hours, just sat there and run his mouth. First thing you know, another station, another station, another station, another station. And he'd let people call in and talk, and he'd fuss with them, argue with them, you know. But he'd articulate all the time how stupid liberalism, how crazy socialism is, how bad the Democrats were, and all this kind of stuff. Until finally, what was last count, 600 or 700 or 900 radio stations. Do you know what he makes a year? It's in the 20-some million dollars a year profit. 20-some million dollars a year profit. Now, I'm not saying that's why you should do it, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm talking about being innovative, getting in the battle, getting in the fight, doing something that nobody else will do. You know what? I'm going to tell you where there's a wide open deal. Somebody take it. I'm not going to do it. I thought about doing it, but God hasn't given me the green light. There are no telling how many Christian stations across the world. Mike Huckabee just bought 4 of them down here at Branson. Okay? There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Christian stations. Most of them are small Christian stations that don't cover a great deal. And most of them are begging for anybody to do something on there. The guy that goes on there and starts a dual program of faith and politics, government mix, and addresses the political and the cultural scene from a biblical standpoint, will tear this world up. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. Most Christian radio programs are so soft and pillowy. They're so mushy. They're afraid they're going to offend somebody. And the season, it's a ripe watermelon. I'm telling you. And what it would do, it would bring listeners into their stations, and in about 2 years' time, Christian stations would be begging you to get on theirs. I talk about pulling down the strongholds of religion, the strongholds of media, the strongholds of education, the stronghold of political parties. Get engaged. I will show you a little bit tonight about how our political parties, our founders, got engaged. At the founding of this country, when they have the Constitutional Convention in the North, which was the Whig Party, W-H-I-G, which stood for We Hope in God. They were in the North. The Democrat Party was in, those minded people were in the South, the slaveholding states, okay? They had a Constitutional Convention, and they were talking about the congressional delegations. And the Constitutional Convention, you almost didn't have one. You almost didn't get a country over this. They were battling over congressional and senatorial congressional representation. Because the big issue with England was no taxation without representation, right? And so here's where they were coming. So they were deciding how our states going to be appropriated representation. Well, the big populated states up there in the Northeast said, oh, we've got all the population. We should have more representation. Your rural state said, oh, wait just a minute. We're states and you're going to have all the power. You'll just run us. We won't have any representation because you'll have all the representatives. So they came up with the bilateral Congress, which sent it 2 from every state. That's why Trump won. That's why you would not have Trump as a president. You'd have Hillary Clinton president if this had not occurred. 2 senators from each state, irregardless of the population. Congressmen of the state according to population. But there was a hitch, and here's what it was. When the slaveholding states, now, I'm saying this to you kids that are going to go to college. Now, I'm going to tell you where you get started. If I were you kids and you go to college, I would just love to go into classroom where some liberal professor's at and he's wanting to cram all his stupidity down your throat, and I'd fuss with him every day. How many's ever heard of Prager University? I don't agree with everything they do, but I'm telling you one thing, they're in the battle. How many's ever heard of this guy named O'Keefe? He's the guy who goes into the abortion clinics and films these people talking about selling babies. I'm telling you, he's tore there. By the way, he just got a judge just ruled in his favor yesterday or day before after a 4-year battle. And there are a lot of young people in America who are standing up. But let me tell you what and why. When you went to college in America for the last 40, 50 years, those professors would get up and tell you that the founders were a bunch of slave owner white men, wicked people. And they've only made slaves 3/5 of a people. And that's what your white founders did. They didn't think they were full people. They're only 3/5. And you sat there in class and go, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, my goodness. My forefathers are terrible people. And most people don't have a clue what that's about. Let me tell you what that's about. The 3/5 deal, and it's in your Constitution. It was changed by the 14th Amendment after the Civil War. But here's what went on. They said, okay, if we get representation according to population, the South said, we want to include the slaves. We then will get more congressmen and we will be able to rule the country and increase slavery and spread slavery in this country. And the North said, wait a minute. The Whig men said, wait a minute. I didn't think they were persons. I thought they were property. You always said that your slaves were not persons, but property. How can you count property as persons when you say they're not persons? Does that sound familiar to you about abortion? And they fought over that, and neither one could get their way. And so finally, the Northerners got the Southerners to agree that their slaves could only be counted as a 3/5 person. And what the Northerners, the Whig Party did in that We Hope in God group said, we're going to be able to keep their congressional representation down at least lower than it would have been had they been able to count their slaves in the congressional. They said, here's basically what they told the Southerners. You're being hypocrites because you constantly say this is your property and you do not believe they're even persons. But now because we've got congressional districts, you want to count them as persons. You can't have it both ways. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And the reason I bring all that in is because there was this great battle. And then, of course, you know, went to the Civil War fighting over slavery. By the way, talk about a fighter. Lincoln had, 6 or 7 generals before he found General Lee, General Grant. General Grant, and the Civil War's a tough issue. I don't agree with the North. I don't agree with Lincoln about a lot of stuff. Lincoln violated the Constitution as a president. I don't know whether you know that or not. A lot. It was a crisis time. I can give some understanding for that. The states' rights issue and all that. But when he found, I'm just saying this in a matter of the weapons of our warfare. When he found Grant, he said, I finally found a man that'll fight. And Grant had Sherman. If you've ever heard of the March to the Sea, here's what Grant's deal was. Grant had this policy. You bring to bear greater force, greater power, and you never slack up. You chase them till they can't run no more. You whip them. You ever watch boxing? Just recently, a white guy from England whipped the world champion boxer here in America, a black guy. His name's Tyson. What's his last name? Anybody remember? Huh? Fury. Tyson Fury. He's 6 foot what? 6? Weighs 270 pounds. I mean, he's a monster. And he fought him 2 other times, and one time was a draw, and I think one time he got beat. But what he did to learn from his fight, and this is what he said. He said, I'm going to fight him one more time. And he said, but I'm never going to back up again with him. And if you watch that, it'd do you well to watch that fight. Tyson Fury never backs up. He chased that world champion boxer around that ring till he thumped him out in 7 rounds. He knocked him down, knocked him crazy. And he said, what I was doing wrong was always backing up from him. He's a world champion. Oh, I was always backing up. No one said, when the church finally figures out, I'm not backing up anymore. I'm not taking it anymore. Amen. Did you know what just yesterday, the day before, was the celebration of how many years of the march down there in Selma, Alabama, where the black people were marching for the right to vote? And the first time they come out, there's 600 people of them. And if you've ever watched the movies, it's one of the most sickening things you've ever seen in your life. Because policemen were out there in droves with billy clubs, fire hoses, and German shepherd dogs beating those people who all they wanted there was the right to vote. Now, those blacks could have went back across the bridge and said, we're done. We're too bloodied up. You know what they did? They set another date. This time, next time, by the time they got up there, it's 25,000 of them. Pretty hard to beat 25,000 people, Pulpy. And they quit being denied the right to vote. What I'm saying, I'm using these analogies. The church has got to quit cowering down, being afraid. And we need individuals who will stand, because individuals who stand inspire other people to stand. And we need leaders and people who get involved in these various areas of life. I know I may be drifting somewhat now, but I'm going to tell you this right now. We need people. I'm going to tell you one thing I admire about Donald Trump. He calls abortion for what it is. He's the most pro-life president you've ever had in your life. I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, I'll tell you what, Reggie, he's an old whoremonger, runs around with women and says nasty things. Hey, what was David? How many wives did Abraham have? How many concubines did Abraham have? Don't talk to me about his moral purity. Do you ever think maybe in the years between that he has repented, that he said he changed his mind about the way he's trying to live? I've never seen a president in my lifetime. The other day, in Black History Day, they had a bunch of blacks come up there. They all gathered around him and had prayer. He doesn't care how many pictures they take of him, put it everywhere. Other people come in and they say they have a Bible study up there. His cabinet has a Bible study and he doesn't care. He gets up in that deal and says, it ain't government, it's God. I thank the Lord for somebody. I think it's a miracle we've got somebody like that. If Hillary had been elected, folks, your Second Amendment rights, your First Amendment rights been gone. Hey, it's not really the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment's before they can get the First Amendment. Because they don't want you preachers to preach and they don't want people to have free speech and say what the truth is in this country. That's the whole idea about this liberal movement. But I'm just saying this, personal strongholds, casting down imagination, bringing it into captivity. Let me tell you, when they were storming the beaches of Omaha, you know what them leaders of them platoons kept saying? Get off the beaches, get off the beaches, get off the beaches. You're going to die if you lay here. You know what's the matter with American churches? Get off the beaches, get off the beaches. Charge, or we're going to get whooped. We're going to die in America if the churches don't get off the beaches. Carrying down behind anything. They'd drag them. They'd run up and grab them and jerk them up. Get up there. Go, go, go. You say you're talking about power? I want to ask you something. You know why the Indians didn't have a chance against us when we came in this country? Anybody really know? Because we had guns and they didn't. How many wants to go to a fight? How many wants to go to a fight? You have a knife, and the other guy have a AK-47, huh? Here's what I'm getting to: the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to pull in us. What we've got? Here's what we got: we got this gun cabinet. Oh man, we got AK-47s, got AR-15s, we got 9M pistols, 380s. Man, we've even got a 50 caliber sitting over. Man, isn't that something? But we won't use them. We're a museum. We won't use the weapons of prayer and fasting. Hey, can I just tell you tonight, you got a situation in your life that's desperate? Try fasting. You know what? Just because something don't work sometimes don't mean you shouldn't try it. I'm going to give you some things about how Satan works as far as his enmity. Here, how did World War II end? Because we used mightier weapons. We dropped the A-bomb. And I don't care whether you like it or not. If you've been sitting around listening to liberal professors and you hate Truman because he dropped the bomb and think we're a bad country, well, I tell you what, why don't you talk to some of the World War II guys like my daddy who was on a ship in the Pacific and they were getting ready to go in, knowing that there was going to be from 100,000 to 200,000 men die. Did you know that was a kindness to Japan? Ultimately, it was a kindness to them. We used mighty weapons. You talk to those World War II guys, they talk about the German 88s and those German Tiger tanks. Hitler knew one thing. He who had the mightiest planes and the mightiest tanks was going to win this thing as far as the human element goes. But if you're trying to go out here and fight spiritual warfare and the things that we've got in this nation, these strongholds with bows and arrows and spears, when they're using guns and atomic bombs on us, it's not going to turn out good for us. You say, Reggie, That's why I like these guys like O'Keefe. You see, warfare is won a lot of times not by big guns, but by propaganda. Nations have been defeated by propaganda. You're whipped, there's no hope, you should give up. Dropping leaflets. Radio broadcast. Churchill was an expert at that. He was constantly telling the German people, it's futile. You need to, you know, he was constantly feeding rebellion against Hitler. Sometimes you just need to cut off their supplies. My daddy used to say, no legislation can be of any good if you don't appropriate the money for it. Sometimes the enemy will send traitors in. Sometimes infiltrators, spies. David knew the value of this. David was fleeing from his son Absalom. They go across, they come up on the ridge. And Hushai is with him, one of his great counselors. And Hushai is going to go with David and say, I'll live and die with you, basically. David said, no, I want you to do something. He said, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. And I want you to be a spy for me with my own son. And I want you to counter Ahithophel's counsel. Absalom said, start asking, counsel, what should we do? Ahithophel gave him what to do. Ahithophel said, go after him and go after him now and chase him till you kill him. Ahithophel knew what he was talking about. It would have worked. Then Absalom turned over to Hushai and said, well, what do you think? You're one of the wise men in Israel. And Hushai, well, you talk about watching a propaganda infiltrator, spy, tear a government up. He said, Ahithophel's advice is good, but not right now. And all he did was get him to hesitate to move quick enough to get David. And Ahithophel saw it, went and put his house. He saw what had happened to him. He'd been undermined. He knew David had a man on the inside. Ahithophel went down, put his goods in order, and hung himself. He was considered as having, that man was so wise, he was considered as hearing the oracles of Almighty God when he spoke. But David knew how to warfare. It's not always with the stuff that you think. When I talk about traitors, there's nothing can destroy it. Does anybody know how the Soviet Union got the atomic bomb? Huh? No. We had the deal out in New Mexico where they did all that study and building all that, and we had the deal under the stadium up in Chicago. Those were the two main places. This was all going on. FDR's president. It's called the Manhattan Project. What FDR did not know was that Stalin had spies in America on the get-go of that. And down in Mexico, there were spies from Russia right inside where we were making that stuff. When Truman told Stalin that he had a weapon that was going to change the entire dynamics of the war, he didn't tell him what it was. Stalin already knew more about it than Truman knew. And he was our president. We had spies in the early 40s down here in Mexico at that where they designed the atomic bomb from Russia. Now, we went on and made the H-bomb beyond that. And there's a man and a wife, and I'm having trouble right now. Tell me. Rosenberg was the couple, man and wife, Jewish Europeans up here in the Northeast. And they had access and got access to how to make the H-bomb and gave it to Russia. How many knows what happened to the Rosenbergs? Tell them, Lane. They were hung. That's how far this nation has deteriorated. You wouldn't even had the Cold War had it not been for some spies in this country. Spies and traitors are Satan's. I mean, I'm telling you. I'm going to tell you right now, I'll just be truthful with you. In a ministry, even in like a ministry here, everybody walks through the door all the time ain't for us. Satan is sending them in. Sometimes to cause dissension, sometimes as, you know, set up for a traitor situation, to do damage within the church so that the church is weakened. A lot of stuff happens. It's real warfare, folks. It really is. And if you don't realize that, you're just kidding yourself. If you think church is just it's a feel-good situation on Sunday, and that's all there is, that's not really true. And that's why it's tough sometimes, because we are in a warfare. And we wrestle not against sowing of discords and so forth like that. Anyway, I think I've preached long enough. It's 8:30, and you didn't get a full night's sleep last night. What I want to say is this. Let's fight for God. Let's fight for our faith. Let's fight for our families. Let's fight for our freedoms. Let's fight. Let's stand. And you know what? Don't worry about stand. I meant stand, but let's stand. Boy, I tell you what, they picked up on that quick, didn't they? He said stand. Let's go. Amen. That's right. That's my buddy right there. Amen. He's all right. He ain't bothering nobody. He's just fine. We're so glad he's here. And I want to commend you, brothers and sisters, and help your mom and daddy taking care of him. That's a blessing. Good thing. God's given you some wonderful, wonderful training right there. I guarantee you. He's using it in your life. It's a blessing. I love you. I want you to have a word of prayer with somebody that you're next to or near around. And sister, would you go have prayer with her? All right. And y'all have prayer with one another, and we'll be dismissed and go home tonight. All right. Thank you for being long-suffering. Have prayer one with another, and we'll go home.